Speaking of 300 game legends, a man who's, I'm sure, been up his share of Bailey ladders, Glenn Archer has joined us from his isolation pad to talk about the past and the present and the future of the Roos. Arch, welcome.
Thanks, Hutto. I might, let me just start by saying I live very close to Robbo, about 800 metres away, and he does not know how to climb a ladder. He rings for the most obscure things. Can you come and help me vacuum me pool? Can you help me turn me sprinkler on? Useless.
Good to talk to you today, Glenn. All right. Glenn's come down a couple of times and helped around the house.
What's the most meaningless job you've invited him down for?
Oh, to set the pool timer so the what's it called?
What's it called?
The air jets go
what's
in.
What's it called?
The air jets go into your pool.
Your filter.
Yeah, it's a filter.
So
this is
down.
What I'm dealing with.
Arch come down to set the time. I gave him a cold Corona.
But you're an old Sparky, yeah?
I am. I was a Sparky from 16 to about 22. Wasn't a very good one. Thank God I could play football.
Oh, yeah. You only make one big error being a Sparky and that's it. But you got through that.
I got through it, yeah. But, footy took over, so I put the Sparky, put me belt aside.
What's isolation like for Glenn Archer? What's it look like?
Well, I only really started isolating from work on Tuesday, so I'm 3 or 4 days in. And, it's pretty tough. I'm used to interacting with a lot of people. But I've got a lot of people at home. I've got 4 kids. The two boyfriends are always there. There's 3 dogs, so there's plenty to talk to.
Hang on. To back up over that, you have two boyfriends and 4 kids and... Do you want to rephrase that?
My two daughters' boyfriends are with us as well. Yeah, so, not my boyfriends. But
would have
don't knock to your try.
And at 5 o'clock every day, Arch, you were telling me, you have the Archer family fitness circuit.
Yeah, we get in the gym.
Yeah, what happens?
Well, we all get in there, me and the girls and the son. Can't get my wife out there yet, but... it has an instant reaction, though. Once they do a bit of exercise, they seem to be a lot happier.
So just give us a quick pricey of what the rundown is, mate, for the kids are coming out. And you say, right, same as yesterday, we're going through da-da-da-da-da. What is da-da-da-da-da?
Oh, no, we generally split it up. It's me and my son together and the girls are together. My eldest daughter's got some app where some weird lady talks to him, so that's starting to annoy me. We might have to turn that app off.
I remember the days when we used to go to Arch's place and play table tennis in the garage out there, and that was competitive enough, Arch.
Yeah, I've got it up. I've got the table tennis table back up, so once we get out of this isolation, Kingy, we need to get you back out there. And can I say, David, I read the paper. I don't very rarely read the paper, but they had the Kangaroos top 20. How you're not in the top 5 has got me beat. Who wrote that article?
Robbo wrote that.
That's not true.
Not even in the top 20.
That's not true, Arch.
We had some good players, Glenn. That's the beauty of the club.
Well, I had you at number 5 for what it's worth. So anyway.
You did not.
He's lying.
So who's your top 5? Who's your top 5? Carey,
Harvey, Stevens, Schwoss, King, McKernan, around about there. Yeah. I swear.
Don't get too specific because it gets wobbly. I tell you what, Robbo's article had Mick at 19.
I did not write it, Arch. Don't be like that,
that's
King.
Too low, isn't it?
That is dual best and fairest winner, premiership winner. And he had to play on it week in, week out, Plugger, Dunstall, Modra, Brereton. All these players, so he played on the best players of all time.
Talking about Modra, we had highlights of him taking some specky marks the other night, Arch, and his best was taken, and you were just flapping around in the background with your fish. You couldn't get anywhere near him.
Wasn't going for the ball either, I don't think.
Tony actually took 3 marks of the years. One was on me, and 2 was on Mick Martin. So, and we played in that EJ Witten game 5 or 6 years ago. So me and Mick played for Victoria. Tony played for whatever the other team is. And we're at the pub afterwards. Me and Mick are standing together. Tony made a beeline for us, came up to us and said, I've always wanted to see you two together. Just want to say thanks for the cars. And turned away and walked away.
Oh, beautiful. Can I tell you about, Arch, when you, 94, what was your first year? 93, wasn't it?
92.
So you'd been playing like a teens game or something because you took a while to get there. Do you remember playing against the Sydney Swans? In one of my few outings against Sydney Swans, you were terrorising Simon Minton Connell. And I walked up and clenched my fist and feigned as if I was going to punch you in the head behind play. Kingy, I've never seen a man less worried in his life.
But I actually do remember that. But I might not have looked like I was flinching on the outside, but I was flinching on the inside. Don't worry.
Oh, he was just stoned. He's just like, oh, what's that? Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I'm surprised you remember that. Well done.
It reminds us of another flinch, non-flinch. Glenn, can you remember back to the Carey return visit, the return game in, I think it was 03, start of 03?
Yeah, no, I do, yes. I actually vividly remember that night because obviously being so nervous before the game and, yeah, well, it's a bit of a myth the when Wayne flinched, when I cocked my fists because a lot of people go, oh, did you really want to hit him? I said, yeah, well, probably at the time I did, but I knew if I threw one, I was going to get that fire back on the chin. So once he flinched, I said, yep, that's enough for me, and I just walked away.
That's the only night I've been disappointed
it didn't erupt.
It didn't get going. I think that in this time, Glenn, sometimes you got to make sacrifice for the point of entertainment for people at the moment. Any chance a rematch? Any chance we can organise something in the ring? You and Wayne just go toe-to-toe.
A good charity match. You could raise a lot of money for charity, Arch.
Yeah. We need it.
Yes, yeah. A lot of money for charity.
What would be your thoughts to that, Glenn?
Well, not a chance in hell. As you know, David, Wayne probably boxed the best that I've ever seen. He could have been a heavyweight boxer. So if I went in the ring with him, I would try my hardest, but I've got no doubt I'd end up on my back in within a minute and a half. So,
I'm tipping if what if we modify the rules for gouging and you're allowed to fight a little dirty? I've heard Wayne's a very accomplished pugilist with the gloves on. What if you could fight a little dirty, which I reckon is up the Noble Park Avenue?
Oh, I've got – if they allow me in the ring with a baseball bat – And he's got nothing. I'll be up for it.
Archie, hey, on a serious note, that game, I think it's one of those games in recent history where most people know where they were when they were watching it. As a journo, I was sitting in the press box. Kingy, you would have been playing. Dermot, I presume you would have been watching or commentating.
Yep, commentating.
With I think Eddie was commentating. It was a Channel 9 game, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, it was.
I can't remember, Arch, being so anxious and with anticipation about what was going to happen that night and to play it out like that. What was it like for you and Steve-O and the Kangaroos and Kingy joining here in the lead-up, in the rooms, on the ground? Can you tell us about some of the feelings that you remember having?
Yeah, well, obviously anxious. I don't think I've ever been so nervous before a game because of the build-up leading into it was huge. But strangely enough, I didn't speak to Anthony during the week about it. I spoke to him probably half an hour before the game. So I went to Anthony and said, you know, what are we doing? Are we playing or are we fighting? And he said, no, I'm not bringing myself down to anyone's level. We just go out there, we win the 4 points and we go home. Within 10 minutes, Steve-O's punching him in the stomach and throwing him on the ground.
You're just drifting out of screen there, Arch. You just realign yourself and then keep going. Yeah, beautiful.
Sorry, well done.
That's it, beautiful.
So the tension on they're not great. So Kingy and Arch, join in. You guys talk here, please, for the tension on the ground, Kingy and Glenn.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn. Did you have a meeting pre-game to say, righto, we go the ball here? There's half a dozen in the meeting. Let's just go the ball. Leave that to you and to Steve. That's something that I can vaguely recall that there was a chat. Hey, let's just play footy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said before, when I actually ran out there, once we had the chat, so I just thought we're playing. But obviously, when you cross the white line and tensions boil over, then it turned. It never got really nasty, as we saw on the. If you look back on the game, but but the overriding emotion that night was sadness. You know, here's a guy that we were best mates with for 10 years. He was our captain. He was a hero of ours as well. So afterwards, you thought, well, how did it get to that? We've gone from best mates to, you know, just about having a fight on the footy field.
But so much happened positively after that, and I mean this. And you know, I remember Arch. Eddie Maguire putting you and Wayne Carey together for an interview. And it's probably something you didn't want to do. But the fact of the matter is, because of it, you got a house built for Marian Epi, who was handicapped. I don't know what the right word is. Help me here.
Yeah, cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy. And you and Carey said, we'll do this. And I think you raised a couple of $100,000 and got a house for you for your great mate.
Yeah. Well, that was the positive that came out of it, because just not long after all that stuff happened, my friend, Kingy's friend as well, he was a real good friend of the football club, Murray Nepi, Wilcox, his name is, cerebral palsy, used to come to training all the time, and he'd lost his stepfather and his mother like within 12 months and basically had nothing. So I wanted to raise some money for him just to help out. So I rang Wayne because Wayne was Murray Nepi's hero, and Wayne was very close to him as well. So I rang him and said, would you do an interview and, you know, put everything aside and we'll try and raise some money. So I went to Channel 9 with my then manager, Ron Joseph, and we went into the car park and I said, so what do you reckon we'll ask for, 20 grand? And Ron goes, turn it up. It'd be 200 grand for this interview, because I had no idea about this. So we went and saw Eddie, we told him the figure. Eddie nearly fell off his chair and said, what do you want the money for? And I said, I want to build a house for Murray and Epi. And to Eddie's credit, you know, obviously Eddie's a bloody legend, particularly when it comes to this sort of stuff. He went and spoke to one of the sponsors, Metricon Homes. Metricon got on board and built him a brand new house. And it was all state of the art, so it was all set up for his disability. So, I can really have to thank Eddie Maguire for that one.
Arch, can I bring forward to today and I guess to the week, the speculation so quickly about the Kangaroos' future. What did you feel when you heard those comments linked straight away with being sent to Tasmania?
Yeah, obviously been an avid North supporter and sit on the board. I was pretty upset, just like other supporters. Just thought it was quite insensitive to bring that up at this time. You know, we're all trying to work through how we're going to get through this pandemic and how all the clubs are going to survive and how the game's going to survive. So I just thought it was really bad timing, insensitive, and just not good for the supporters. So, unfortunately, and when you think logically through it, like 10 years ago, 13 years ago, we nearly got pushed to the Gold Coast and we're nearly $9 million in debt. We're nearly trading insolvent. And we said no then. So why would we head to Tasmania now when, you know, we've got our debt down to 600,000. We're going really well. No worries. When we get through this, we're going to have some extra debt. Not a problem at all. But I wouldn't be looking at us. I'd be looking at other clubs who are in a worse position than us. And I shouldn't say that, because no club should relocate. Once we get through this, we're fine with the 18 teams that we got. But, I was pretty upset when I heard it.
Glenn, can I ask, we were always told of this kid who was a key position player, a little bit under height and the likes, and he's come into North Melbourne's team as a young man, but we were told the story of Glenn Archie was very reticent to go down and play under 19s or even reserves. Well, just didn't want to go to North Melbourne. Clearly you love them now. But what was the reticence, if that is so true, back in the day?
I just didn't think I was good enough. So, I was chuffed that I got invited down to the under 19s. But when I got there, and I spent about 3 weeks in the pre-season, I just thought I was out of my depth. I thought, I'm never really going to make it. So I left. And then a year later, it was about round five of 1991.
So you made the call on yourself. They didn't cut you out of the under-19s. You left yourself.
Yeah. No, I went back to Noble Park. I started playing senior footy there. And I was just really happy because I was getting $100 a game. I was only getting 25 in the under-19s. So,
are you overpaid, Arch? We used to get six.
That was a year later. Dennis rang me. It was round five of the 91 season. And he said, just come down and play one game. If you like it, stay. If you don't, go back to Noble Park. So he rang about 10 times. I kept saying no. So in the end, I said, oh, I'm just going to go down and play this one game and get back to Noble Park just so this guy stops ringing the house. So I went and played. I was a forward then, kicked a couple of goals, enjoyed the other guy's company. And then it worked out that we're playing Sydney the following week. I'd never been on a plane before. So I thought I might tick that box as well while I'm here. And so I did that and played the game in Sydney and thought, ah, it's not too bad. I'll hang around for a while. And 17 years later, I was still there. So if it wasn't for Dennis's persistence, I don't think I would have ever played.
And after those 17 years, Arch, from not wanting to play there, is it? You were named the shin bone of the century, and that must be a hell of an honour. But is it true that on the night when they awarded the shin bone of the century, when they announced the winner, which was you, you started clapping because you thought you were not going to win, so you were naturally just going to start clapping whoever won, and people were looking at you and you were clapping even though you'd won it or been given it?
Oh, well, you go to these award nights and you sort of got an inkling if you're a chance or who you think's going to win. I did not give myself a chance at all. So there was 3,500 people there. I proceeded, because I didn't think I had a chance, I proceeded to have about 30 pots. So,
who did you think was going to win?
I thought Schimmelbusch, Carey, Stevens.
It was a bit of a giveaway, Arch, when they had the logo or the little photo, the insignia. Was Arch doing that? You could tell it was him. We all knew it was going to be Arch.
Except him.
Except you, Glenn. What was going on?
30 pots will do that to you.
Well, I just didn't think I'd had it. I was in the discussion. So I was actually trying to sneak out. They didn't name it until about 12:30 at night. I was trying to sneak out for a fag. And they were saying, get back to your seat. So I had absolutely no idea.
Didn't you get up there and say, this is a great honour to win? What have I won?
It was something like that. Well, having the 25 pots didn't help me. I can't remember.
Hey, Arch, really appreciate letting us join you in your isolation and going back down memory lane. And I guess just as we do that, you're confident in the future of the North Melbourne Footy Club to stay as it is?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a board meeting yesterday. There's, you know, obviously we're talking about the AFL funding and all that sort of stuff. And we're already a really lean business. So I think the clubs that spend a lot at the moment, I think they're going to struggle a little bit. Not to the point where they're going to go bust or anything, but we already run really lean. We're just going to have to run a little bit leaner for the next 12 months. And I think we'll get through it, no worries at all.
Thanks for joining us, mate, and good luck. Hopefully it won't be too long before you're about to go and help Robbo out with some mundane task down the road.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
And what's your dog's name in the background?
My dog's name's Kobe.
Kobe. What type of dog?
Derm, we've finished.
I know.
He's a black Labrador.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Gets on with Elvis really well.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
He does.